Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 Benny. Oh, you've got over to the Bootstrap Businessman, the podcast focused on developing the entrepreneur within on a shoestring budget, and I am your host and ever-energetic number one best-selling fitness author, Dale L. Robertson. I'm joined by my co-host, the Midwest Best, Kevin S. Allen. Today, our special guest is well-known author and CEO of Winsome Media, Juliet Dillon Clark. And man, Kevin, you got yourself an awesome guest on today, and I think you know why I'm excited about that.
I'm not sure, man. Why am I excited? Why are you excited about it? I know why I'm excited. Why are you excited about it?
It's about self-publishing, man. I could talk about self-publishing
until
the cows come home. I love writing. I love publishing. I love everything about it. So you brought somebody in that is just thoroughly excited. I've got her on hold right now. But we need to kind of pay the bills right now. So take it over, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Hopefully everybody's doing great tonight. Beautiful, beautiful spring weather wherever you're at. You know, Arizona's probably 9,000 degrees and sunny every day that I hear. And, here in Ohio, man, 65 degrees wasn't too bad today, man. You know, it's just a great day. Sun was shining a little bit. But everybody, you know, we need something from you all, okay? Basically, we're putting this show together. We're bringing all these guests in and stuff. And, you know, we could use a little support. Basically, just going through Amazon.com. We have a link that's provided in our show description. And what that does is anytime you order anything from there, a small percentage of the sales comes back to us to help us support the show and keep your two favorite personalities up and running. And there's no additional cost to you. Just bookmark the link in your browser. Use that every time you shop on Amazon because we know you do. Who doesn't, right? So just go ahead and do that. It doesn't cost you any more, and just a couple pennies come back to keep the show running. So, you know, appreciate the support.
All right. Without any further ado, I'm going to see about adding her into the line here. This week's guest is none other than Juliet Clark. Juliet's an entrepreneur, publisher, and speaker, and she's also the founder of Winsome Media Group, a globally recognized brand. And you can find all of her information in the show notes below. And before I go any further, I need to make sure, Juliet, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Yes, this is Dale,
okay.
So you can always tell the loud, obnoxious one's Dale and the more calm and reserved one's Kevin.
Okay, I will remember that.
Now I'm just gonna start like screaming at the top of my lungs now that you said that. No.
Well, exactly. A radio silence.
Yes. I'm just gonna go. Well, we're glad you joined us tonight. And Dale, I didn't tell you this a couple minutes ago. I was actually emailing Juliet back and forth. I just got off the phone with somebody from Florida, and she sent me an email and said, "Hey, you know, I dial in right at," she said 5 o'clock, and I was like going, "No, it's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time." So I emailed, and I forgot she's in California.
Oh
yeah.
So yeah.
So
we got that. We got that ironed out real quick though. So Juliet, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you guys? Are you guys in Ohio and it's 65 degrees?
I'm in Ohio. Dale's in Arizona.
Yes, Glendale.
Isn't it supposed to be snowing in Ohio this time of year?
On Friday, they're actually calling for snow. So, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, I know somebody that's getting ready to visit next week, and hopefully there's no snow on the ground when he shows up.
Oh man, he'll probably go jump right back on the plane. Juliet, where are you from? Where are you based out of?
I'm based out of Valencia, California, and for those of you who don't know where that is, it's at the northern tip of Los Angeles. Our claim to fame is Magic Mountain. So.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, thank
Very
you so
cool.
much for having me. It's really nice to be on, and I can't wait to talk self-publishing with you, Dale. You sent me a great book today that I guess, I don't know if you published it yet or...
That is published. It was just kind of just sent you over just so you could take a look at it, you know, see what your thoughts are. And, you know, if there's anything that, you know, we can do to help each other out, basically, obviously that's what we're here for. So, yeah, Juliet.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give you the floor here for a few minutes because I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about you and your company.
Okay, well, thank you for that. My company, like you said, Winston Media Group, we are a self-publishing company and an author platform building company. And why that is important is back when I started with my first book back in 2008, I used one of the larger self-publishing companies out there, and it was a really disappointing experience. You know, they did everything and tried to upsell at every turn. And when we got to the end, it turned out that they got most of my profit. And I felt really offended by that model because, you know, when you self-publish, you're really investing in yourself. It's not like one of the big publishing houses came along and said, I love your book. Let us do it for you. When self-publishing, you know, you have control of the reins. So you have control of the design. You have control of, you know, what goes on in every phase of the book. And so that's why I was really blown away that I had paid these people to produce the book, and then on the back end, the markup was so high that I walked away with 10% of the total retail price. And I thought that was really, that's how most of the models are. And I thought that was super ridiculous. And then the other thing was constant upselling into promos. And, you know, you're spending a lot of money on promo, but nothing works. And so with my second book, I actually got a traditional publishing contract. And 2 weeks after we went back and forth on things, 2 weeks later, they were bought by a self-publishing company. And I just said, no, I'm not going to do this again. And I went out and I learned every phase of how to do this myself. And I started producing my own books. And along the way, I met a lot of authors and started working on building an author platform. And for those of you who don't know what an author platform is, it's very important. It's where you build your audience base and your fan base. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't get much value from promotion. What you do get value from with a book are the relationships that you build and how you can transition that into you know, programs and products and being an entrepreneur. I don't think anybody who writes the book, with the exception of very few people out there, actually make much money from their book. But if you can make that transition, you're in really good shape. So by my third book, I had built enough of an audience that I sold over 25,000 copies. And my friends started coming to me and saying, you know, can you help me? Can you do this for me? And so I started publishing their books, and I set my model up so that it's very, I call it author-centric, because it really is all about the author. At the back end, I don't have a big markup, which means most authors keep 2 to 3 times more of the royalties in their pocket and not in mine. I'm not greedy about it. And I have a lot of coaching services. I don't like to give you an already made author platform when you're an author. I like you to learn how to do it yourself because that's where your long-term success in this field lies. So that's where we are today. I did it for my friends. It turned into a business, and I love it.
Wow. That's really, really cool. I think that's awesome that you were able to experience some of the bad side of publishing, and now at least you're paying it forward on some of the successes that you've had. Could I backtrack just a second? How long did it take you to establish your platform or your brand?
You know, my author platform, it morphed over about 2 to 3 years. And, you know, I think that's one of the misconceptions authors have is they think they put their book on Amazon and it's overnight success. Truly, true. Well, they do. You know,
I wish
that yacht kicked out. No, it doesn't happen. But a lot of them think it's that. A lot of people do think it happens. And when you're really engaging in audience building and author platform building, it's going to take time. It's a long-term strategy. You just, you know, you don't meet a girl and then, you know, well, that's probably not a good example. But I think, you know,
no,
I mean,
it's perfect.
It's not. yeah, you know, you want, most of the time if you marry someone, it's developed in a relationship over time. It just didn't happen overnight. Wow, why did I go there?
Hey, well, okay, let's stop right here real quick. This is a no-holds-barred show, so if you feel something you want to share it, don't feel bad, just share it. So
that this is great. I love to kind of expand on this. So somebody new who comes up to you, if they ask you what's a realistic time frame for them to make self-publishing a career, what's generally what you suggest to them?
Oh, I definitely 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Definitely. Because there's so much to learn. First of all, books are sold on the internet. And so many of the authors that I work with don't have an internet presence. They don't want to be on the internet. And, you know, most of the books are sold on Amazon now, which means that, you know, you have to be able to promote yourself. There's over, I think, 7 million books on Amazon now. So you have to position yourself and be well-known enough that people can find you. So it's long-term, not only because you have to build that audience, but because in order to really be on the internet, and you guys know this as entrepreneurs, there's a lot to learn. You have to find your niche audience. You have to have a website. And when I talk about having a website, I don't mean just putting something up. You have to be on the web. You have to be producing content and be producing material. You know, you need to have your social media presence, and a lot of people, that takes time because they don't understand that you have to have engagement in order to build relationships. You just can't just post to them and say, you know, get 3 likes and call it a day. You have to be able to understand that Amazon is a search engine and how you can maximize that. And you also have to be able to not only be able to produce good content, but have that freebie on your website and be able to go out and position yourself to get gigs and get in front of other people's audiences. So it's a lot of work, and a lot of it doesn't happen overnight. You get really overwhelmed if you try to do it all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, go ahead, Dale.
I was going to ask a lot of our show is based on just starting a business with little to no money. How did that start out for you, and what do you suggest to people that are coming into the business as well?
I
started out with zero money. I mean, it was an accident. It was a hobby. So I would suggest, and I know this is going to be probably a horrible suggestion, but don't quit your day job at first because there are going to be –
You should have called me.
Oh, man. Dude. Now what?
I don't know what to tell you. There's a lot of skills to learn. You know, I actually have a very funny story about that. When I was in real estate, they had me in to speak to rookies, and I told them not to quit their day job, and the company was so upset with me for telling them that. But anyway,
that's good quality advice.
We're trying to keep these guys. You know what, I really would suggest that you have another stream of income and do this on nights and weekends as you're, you know, getting ready and getting up there, because some of it does cost money, and you have to be prepared for those obstacles and those things you don't know about, especially as you get more and more into the internet marketing aspect of it, because it does get very complicated. And in order to be able to deliver, you know, some of those products and services, if you transition from your book into coaching programs, you're going to need to really pick up some expensive toys along the way.
Yeah, that's true. You can't bootstrap the entire thing. And I, as a self-publisher, I've been very successful in what I've done so far. I found things out the hard way. You know, you, for instance, email services, you know, if you want to get a good email provider service, you just can't go get some free service. You've got to actually invest in something like an AWeber or GetResponse or Infusionsoft, something like that. And, you know, not that I'm trying to say MailChimp is inferior, but if you're getting a free MailChimp account, you're going to get what you paid for.
No, absolutely, I agree. And it's funny because I just had my meeting with my accountant, and you know, he's looking at my expenses and in my internet expenses, and he's like, "What are all these things?" And they're all things that I purchased. You know, the SoundCloud for the podcast, and you know, the mail server, and you know, all of the things I have that I work with, ClickFunnels. It's all kind of a la carte, and you have to have a budget because they add up quickly.
Wow. Yes, so this is kind of funny. Okay, now this is where I need to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit for people that are listening and thinking self-publishing is something you get rich, you know, quick overnight. At least you've dispelled that. But you've showed that self-publishing is so much more than just writing a book and putting it up there. What else is involved in the process of self-publishing besides writing?
Well, besides writing, do we have all night? Let's talk about your branding. You know, your book is going to be your brand, so you need to be well branded. You need to have a really brilliant killer bio. You need to have your publishing budgeted. Are you going to use CreateSpace? Are you going to use? Are you a really super busy entrepreneur who, you know, comes to someone like me because you just want to hand off the project and say, "Give it to me when it's done," or are you going to figure out all the services that you need and do it yourself? So there's really a lot of steps in the meantime that, you know, that you don't think about. It just doesn't happen. You need a marketing budget, part of the branding yourself, getting a presence on Facebook. You know, community building is the best way to do that now. So, you know, you got to run over to Fiverr and get yourself branded and go back over to Facebook. And then you have to start producing content because these people aren't going to follow you unless they know what you're all about. So there's a lot there.
There's that Fiverr again.
It comes up.
It comes up, yes, all the time. Wow, you know, I'm learning a lot here as we're going along, just in this conversation, you know, just some little tidbits and stuff also. But, you know, honestly, you said 2 to 3 years. When was your first taste of success with the self-publishing? You know, was it year one, year two?
I think year one. As a company, yeah, year one. I started producing some really good content and list building and bringing people in. And I actually have a group over on Facebook that I just started a new group over there. I think we're up to almost 700 people.
Wow.
And, it's, you know, it moves pretty quickly. So it wasn't like it took 2 to 3 years to really big, you know, I didn't make any money. I made money the first year. It just wasn't the way it is today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kevin. Sounds like you were getting ready to ask a question there, buddy.
No.
We're like standing off. Hang on. We don't want to ask Julie at the very same time.
Well, no, you know, I think that's tremendous and stuff. And, you know, year one, you're starting to make money. And, you know, that's a good thing because then it's going to keep you moving, right? But I do want to kind of back up a little bit. You said don't quit your day job, and you started this as a hobby. Is there anything, any advice you want to give to people that are always complaining that they don't have time?
Oh, gosh, you're about to see what kind of coach I am. To me, when you tell me you don't have time, you're not motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Are you motivated enough to get it done and make the time, or are you not? I'm pretty black and white.
No, that's a true statement, because I mean that's a few of the things that we've kind of come across, you know, in a few of our shows and stuff. You know, we've talked about this diligently. You know, those folks just say that they don't have time, but then they can tell you what was on television the night prior. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
just kind of comical. So, I'm gonna ask this question.
Can I just add to that for a minute?
Sure.
About the time, you know, it is a big balance. But you know, if you are, I think the people that I hear the time limit from are mostly people with families. And you know, if you're really and truly serious and you have really good communication with your family, you can sit down with them and say, you know what, Daddy's going to be out of pocket 1 hour a night every week, and if you guys can just all bear with me, this is going to make our lives so much better. And I'd love your help, and I'd love to, you know, that we'll just schedule things a little bit differently. I think if you're really clear about that kind of thing with your family, you can set good boundaries and really, really make that time.
Okay. Excellent. Do you think a huge part of it, too, is maybe some of the people that are unmotivated, is they're not sure why they're doing it?
I don't know as much about why as I think it's a fear of how and will I fail, mm-hmm. and you know, what if I get into this and I invest in them and I don't like it. That's kind of why I say don't quit your day job, because you guys are in this. You know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, no. Mm-mm.
it's
much like
the part.
Yeah, it's much like approaching, you know, like I enjoy going and playing craps at casinos. And, you know, some people are petrified to even step close to a craps table. You know, me, I enjoy it. I like the thrill. And sometimes I think self-publishing is to a certain degree, kind of like going to a craps table. You know, you might throw roll a couple of good, you know, turns and such. You might be a hot roller. But then every now and then you're going to probably have a seven, you know, and you're going to seven out. And it really stinks every now and then. You know, I put out some great books, and then I put out some ones that I said, this is going to be awesome. And it sold, you know, two copies. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, really. And your grandmother and some random guy in Kansas who thought it was about something else.
Yeah, yes. He ends up giving you a 1 star. So, hey, I got a question for you. How about this? Speaking of, how do you handle 1 stars? What is your approach to 1 stars?
You know, 1 stars happen. They used to really make me mad because, you know, if you look, first of all, if you look at some of the people who throw 1 stars at and take a good look, click on their profile. I get really upset when I get a 1 star and I can see that person bought a vacuum cleaner, a pair of socks, and has never read another book in entire history of Amazon. I mean, it kills me. They're a way of life. There's not a whole lot you can do about them except maybe, you know, get out there and pump and ask people to write 5-star reviews that'll counteract them. But they happen. It's part of being an author, and you can either get mad and, you know, throw down your toys and go home, or you can pick up your pen and keep writing and do a better job next time.
Yeah, exactly. I know every now and then, when I first started a couple years ago, the 1 stars would take the wind out of my sail, and I was just kind of like, screw it, I'm done, I'm out of here, you know, they're right. But I think that once when I started looking at it constructively, and I still do what you're saying, is I'll go and I'll look at a person's profile in Amazon. So if you're self-publishing and you're listening to this, here's a little trick for you. Look at your reviewer's profile. Go in there and see what other reviews they're doing. Chances are pretty likely, kind of like what Juliet says, is they probably have like a vacuum cleaner, they bought a Vitamix, you know, things like that. But from time to time, you're going to run into some people that actually are repeat reviewers, where they'll review other books. So what I'll do is I'll look at their other 1-star reviews or their other 5-star reviews and just get a better idea for this person and see where they're coming from. And that way I can kind of get a better base of, okay, where's this person coming from and how can I be able to answer their demand? But could you agree with me that sometimes you can't just – there's some people you just will never please.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I started out as a fiction writer, and I remember my second or third book. Somebody actually wrote that the story was good, but it looked like it had been edited by a monkey. And oh my gosh. Like, God. Seriously. That one hurt.
Oh my goodness. So question.
Yeah, you have to look.
The question I have for you is, going into editing, do you hire out editors, or are you kind of all in-house with your editing?
You know what? I recommend that people hire their own editors for a couple reasons. Number one, that seems to be the one piece that people are never happy with. And yeah. I've had some really interesting experiences with people who've gotten their editing back and they feel that their voice was edited out or, I had an editor for a while who would actually give a synopsis of whether they thought the book would sell. And I had some people who were really upset over some of the comments. So I might give you a list of names and let you go choose your own, but I don't like to do it in-house anymore. And I'm not an editor. I would tell you that I am a mediocre writer, and I am heavily edited. I have a deep copy editor who pretty much says, oh, my gosh, you stink, and here, we're going to make it better now.
And when you're hiring somebody like an editor, is that going to cost quite a bit, or is that just going to be something give me a kind of a general ballpark when it comes to getting a good editor?
Well, it depends on what kind of writer you are and what kind of editing you get. If you are a really decent writer and you can get away with just a regular edit, you're going to be in good shape. It always depends on word count, so it depends on your word count. It shouldn't be too expensive. If you're someone like me who isn't a great writer and I have to pay for, the big, deep edit, it's going to be a lot more expensive. But it's worth it because the product is so much better if you really, really pay the money for it. I have a lot of people come to me and they'll tell me, my Aunt Cindy's an English teacher and she edited it. Being an English teacher does not make you an editor.
No.
It makes you a grammar Nazi, but not an editor.
Absolutely. It's so much more than just typos and, sentence structure. So it's a bigger picture sometimes, and some people, fail to see that. Hiring a good editor, I 100% behind you on that one. That is awesome. So, Kevin, something that, he and I had put up, I think you ended up getting a more recent book, Fail to Succeed, and that's actually one of those ones that we just bootstrapped. And under normal circumstances, I would have sent that to an editor. But I have found that it ran me right about any time I've hired an editor, on the cheap end, it was right about a cent per word. Is that about right?
Yeah, that is about right, actually.
Okay, all right. So I just want to make sure I'm not spending out the rear end. I've spent a little more before. But, I love to chat with other self-publishers. But, something Kevin's starting to get into is actually he had opened up a Kindle Direct Publishing account for Bootstrap Businessmen to put out some of these things. Tell us a little bit of your experience with Kindle Direct Publishing, some of your successes and some of your setbacks.
Some of my successes, first of all, I love it. It's easy to use. And that's part of our service is I set it up for the clients because half the time they have no idea what they're doing with it. I think that the real successes on it is that we've been taking people who are even writing small books. I have clients who will write a 22-page book that is basically an ebook. And, the purpose is for their website as a freebie, but, we can build a profile and put it on Kindle, on KDP for, 99 cents. And there's some extra exposure there, and then they're, quote, a published author. So I think that's been some of our successes because some of our clients have been able to actually get more business off of their profile on Amazon. People go and they take a look. And with a short book, you're more than likely to sell it because nobody has any attention span these days. If you tell somebody they can learn something in 22 pages, they're all over it. Some of the things that have kind of been failures, a lot of my clients will get into, I want to use the free days, I want to You know, I want to do stuff with those. And I don't think that they work that effectively. And the other downside is you can't, you're not supposed to have it on your website. You're not supposed to sell it anyplace else. So, you know, that's kind of turning that impression around about the free days and how much they do help. If you're going to give it away for your free on your site, why do you need it free on Amazon?
That's true. That's so true. Now, why would somebody want to make their work free? Because I know that that's always a question I get from people, at least when I first started and I did free promotion so much more frequent. Why would someone make their book free on Amazon?
I don't know. It goes on the list. Back when I first started, you actually could go on to the bestseller list with it because it was my third book. I actually was sitting at number 38 in mystery between Janet Ivanovich and Sue Grafton. And
wow.
I wish I'd known how to take a screenshot because, you know, that made my life. It was only for one day, but it was good enough for me. But, you know, they've changed that, and it's not something that you can do anymore. Back then, they had just started, and I think probably the traditional publishers were really jumping on it. Like, you can't let these free self-published books jump in here and be up with our, you know, paid big authors. So, I don't know why we want to give it away for free now.
Yeah, it really becomes so difficult, and I know I could probably do an entire show on just, you know, why and what it's done for me as far as getting the free stuff, but every now and then you do have to kind of draw a line, because if you know your value, then the lowest you should probably ever put your publications is 99 cents. Some people are probably listening to this like, how are you going to ever make money with 99 cents? Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not the money from the book. Now, I do sort of have a free launch strategy. But I don't mean put your book down to zero. I recommend to my clients that they do a pre-sale, and then during that time that they utilize their list in social media and ask people to read their book. And I know a couple of my authors have had tremendous success this year because they will give out Amazon gift cards and a free copy of their book and say, hey, if you will use this card and go over and buy my book in pre-sale and write a review when on the day it launches, it would be a big help. So that's really a good, you know, having 20 to 30 reviews the day you launch certainly can't hurt you. But that's the only time I ever recommend doing it for free, and it's not really for free because, you know, you have to figure when you give them an Amazon gift card, you're spending, let's say, $10 for it, and they're going to go over and buy your book, and it, you know, 50 to 60% commission or royalties, whatever your particular publishing house gives you, you're getting most of that money back anyway.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, do you recognize that strategy?
Yeah. It actually does sound kind of familiar. I was going, huh? Seems like we've done this before.
Yeah. See, everybody knows about it.
No, but one of the things, though, Juliet, thank you for, you know, walking us through that, because our listeners, you know, sometimes we get distracted by asking questions or, you know, other things, shiny objects in my case. But, you know, thanks for clarifying that, you know, and just going through that. You know, I'm sure the listeners really, really appreciated it. So, KDP. Now, here's... you know, Kindle Direct Publishing. What are your thoughts on the Kindle Select?
You know what? I have not done anything with the Kindle Select.
And what are your reservations on Kindle KDP Select?
I don't know. It just doesn't seem, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like something will stimulate sales. I mean, have you guys had a different experience with it? Are you using it?
I've had a few of my publications that have done really well with it. Other ones
really?
I've actually opted to take and just pull it off. You know, so see, I'm in the fitness industry, so my books are really heavy. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, 200 to 300 pages as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So obviously it adds up. So I think you already know how this system works, but I want to explain it to the listeners. KDP Select is essentially like a library for Amazon. You pay a membership per month, and you're able to check out 10 books at a time. Now, every time that a customer reads a single page, you're paid, well, last I saw it was less than half a cent per page. Now, that seems like it's like, wow, that means you're not getting very much at all, you know, at the end of the day. No, but here's the nice thing is it actually still leverages more. It pushes your book up in rank. So, in other words, I could have very low sales, but if I have a good amount of reads per day through the Kindle Direct Publishing Select program, or Kindle Unlimited, as some people would say, then my rank can really maintain at a nice level. So that's one of the nice things. And if you can keep your rank up in 10 to 20,000 rank, then, you know, it's going to, you know, keep on getting more sales. So that's really something that's helped out. Now, other publications, no one's checking it out. So at that point, I typically just opt out of KDP Select, which you're stuck in it for 90 days. Here's a little tip. If you ever have any kind of, you know, customers or clients that are, you know, they get into KDP Select, you can't ask to get out of it. But here's the issue. As soon as you ask to get out of a particular 90-day period, you forfeit those earnings that you made within that 90-day period. So you're not completely contractually obligated. You can ask out, but once again, you're going to be losing out on all of the royalties through your Kindle Unlimited checkouts. So there you go.
And I can see how that would benefit you because fitness is such a huge category.
Yes.
I have someone who has a divorce book. That might be a good place for them because, you know, when you search divorce, there's over 25,000 books. So for somebody who's in a big category like that, it is a good idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're getting towards smaller niches, I don't think it's going to be – it's not wise because you can probably make a lot more money. For instance, I have other books that aren't in the fitness, and they're just smaller niche-type books, so I don't keep them on Kindle Unlimited because it's just – it doesn't make sense because if they're ranking anywhere between 100,000 or greater in the paid store – I don't think a Kindle Unlimited checkout is going to push it up into past the 100,000s. So,
right. Now, it's funny because I actually am a member on the other side of that, and I do purchase books, like the 10 books a month.
Oh, nice. Right, see, I got Kindle Unlimited membership myself, and I do use it because I'm a bibliophile. I love reading. That's, you know, it's my favorite pastime and current time. So I got a question about Winsome Media Group. We kind of briefly touched about it, but I just really want to learn just a little bit more about what it is that you do, how you get your customers, and what you do for your customers.
Okay. What is it we do? We do, I mentioned the author platform coaching and publishing. So we have two separate kind of divisions of what we do, but we try to meld it together, especially if we can catch someone at the beginning and start building their platform while their book is in process. It works really well. We have several different things we do. We have downloadable programs, which, first of all, let me back up. I get a lot of my business from Facebook. I mentioned the Facebook community over there. Part of my mission is to really educate people about what they need to do to build that author platform. So within my group over on Facebook, I provide educational tools. So Monday, I'll have a lesson. Every month, I have a theme. This month, or next month, the theme is, what is the theme next month? Hold on, I should know that. The top of my head, I just posted it off. Next month it's your media kit. You know, how to not be, I'll post articles on Mondays about, you know, how to not be the guest from hell. Tuesdays are my podcast, Ask Juliet. So I have three authors a month who ask a publishing question. I answer it. It's a very short podcast. The other one every month is a best-selling author telling you how they built their platform and what's going on with their book sales. So that's every Tuesday. Every Wednesday on there, we do what we call Collaboration Day, where we invite people. You know, if you're a fitness guy, come on in the group. If you're looking for a fitness blogger or a podcast or a radio guest, a lot like where you guys found me, I do that in my group as well. Thursdays are blogging days, and I usually have a guest blogger who's an expert on some, you know, on list building or social media. And then Friday is kind of, I call it Freebie Friday, and I usually post a freebie in the group, like a list building challenge or a community building challenge that they can download and get some skills from. So everything I do within my Facebook group is educational. And then on top of that, of course, there's always the, okay, once you're in my freebie, you know, do you want, I usually have a low-cost package that I offer every month as well. Next month, it's Media Kit Wow, and it's $37.97. So I kind of make that the next step in my funnel. Hey, if you're learning a lot during this month, then come on in and buy this low-cost product and learn some more. And then, you know, it kind of goes from there. I have everything from those low-cost monthly products up to my program called Authorpreneur, which is $697. That's a downloadable product as well with six modules that go over all the things that you need in detail to really build a killer platform. And then we have one-on-one coaching as well. So we kind of run the gamut there with products anywhere from $7.97 up to $1,500 a month for coaching.
There's a lot of people that gasp probably at the price. You know, what could you say? And a couple shows ago, I had my wife on, and see, she actually had invested, you know, about $1,000 in her coach, and she made it back in the same month. So the people that have reservations in investing in something like this, what would you share with them?
Remember that this is a long-term strategy, and you're not just learning how to sell your book. You're learning how to build an internet presence and an internet, you know, business, basically. And I agree with that, with investing in a coach. I'm part of a group called the Joint Venture Inner Circle, and, you know, that's $1,000 a month for that, and I make it back with my joint ventures every month. So, you know, it pays for itself. People always say they can't afford a coach, and I would honestly say to you, you can't afford not to have one. I always have at least one coach. If you want to move forward and grow, you got to have one.
Absolutely. I agree 100% on that, and I'm very, very fortunate that I have my own coach and mentor. Just spoke with him, actually, just 15 minutes before connecting here. So question, let's go back over to the Facebook group. I'm really, really interested in something like this. So I'm hoping that I can be able to join this. How do I join your Facebook group, and where do I find you?
You can go over, it's called Writing and Publishing Tips and Tricks, and it is a private group. You go over and you just ask to join, and I take a look. I take a look at your profile, because we want to keep it really not spammy. So I approve you, then you're in. We do have a lot of rules. I don't know if you have a community of your own, but we try very hard to make it. It's not a place where you can come and say, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. you will be.
That doesn't work.
I was going to join until you said that.
It doesn't work, and you will be deleted, actually. It's right up in the rules.
Yeah.
Educate you on how to properly, you know, promote and market your book and yourself in a way that makes sense. So, yeah, it doesn't work. You're allowed to post once when you release, and then we don't want to hear from you again.
That's understandable, though. I mean, you're wanting to build a community, and, you know, it's not like, you know, if I was in my own community, my apartment community, if my neighbor came up and was just like, buy this, buy this, buy this, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? I just live next door to you, for crying out loud. So, yeah, it can be very jarring when people are constantly spamming. And, yeah, rest assured, you add me to the group. I'll only spam, like, you know, 12 of my books over the next day. But all joking aside, yes, that is a great, great lesson. So what was the name of the group again? I'm sorry, Writing and Publishing Tips and Tricks, and we can just search that up on Facebook?
Yes, you can just search it up on Facebook. We also have a business page, Winsome Media Group. So if you can't find the other group, go to that page, and you'll see links for it over there.
Excellent. Now, what if somebody's starting new into the business? Would you recommend that they step into your Facebook group to learn, or is there somewhere else that you would send them to first?
You know what? I would recommend that they come in, and here's why. I am a very unique coach in the sense that I don't feel that everyone around me who coaches writers and coaches business is competition. I think that everybody yeah. needs a coach, and I may not resonate with you. And, you know, you got a little bit of how harsh I am about if you don't have time, you're not motivated. That may not
yep.
be the handle. That may not, you may need someone who holds your hand, and I may not be that person. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of really great writing coaches in there. They are my friends and my collaborator. We have a program going on right now that's free for everyone that a lot of these people collaborated on. And while you may not resonate with me, you may resonate with one of them and find a really killer coach in my group.
Oh, excellent. Now, are these coaches, do they work directly under you, or do you subcontract them with Winsome Media?
You know what? I don't subcontract them. I
wow.
let them know as my friends that, you know, if you find business in here, that's great. Don't go looking for it, but, you know, get up. If someone asks, make yourself the expert because, you know, they may like you. Laura Bush is in there. She's a tremendous writing coach. Trying to think about who else is. Anne Shabani, she's a great writing coach. I don't particularly like to coach the writing. So having all of these guys in there are a big help because people have questions that are all over the place. And, you know, I'm not a jack of all trades. I have my areas of expertise and they have theirs. And I think it all works out really well.
Nice. You've got a good blend of talents then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's awesome. Very good. Kevin, I've been really cutting. I've been dominating this conversation because I'm so excited about self-publishing. I really need to step back 2 seconds and allow you some time to ask Juliet some questions.
Oh, no, man. You know, honestly, I've been sitting back in and just enjoying the rhetoric here and stuff that's been going on. So, you know, all of this under the umbrella of being an entrepreneur. And, you know, starting from nothing, you're seeing some success over the last couple of years. I mean, having the media presence, you know, on Facebook, are there any other platforms that you're using besides Facebook, you know, that you've seen some success from as far as the social media goes?
Not a lot. I'm not a big Twitter person. I did have some success on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is just a little bit different. I don't know. It's not as informal as Facebook, and I think that's why I really resonate with Facebook is because, you know, the authentic me comes out. I'm not going to go on and, you know, post something that's not professional on LinkedIn. And not that I'm not, you know, acting non-professionally, but I will post funny things. I post the funniest cartoons in my group, and, you know, sometimes they're a little bit racy, but that's what people like about me.
Right. Okay. No, that sounds great. As far as, like, say, what about Instagram? Have you even dove into that world at all?
Oh, my gosh, no. I'm 55 years old. That's my kid. I have never done Snapchat either. You know, I did Instagram a little bit, and it wasn't my thing.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and with LinkedIn, I do agree with you. There is a certain level of professionalism, you know, that is on there. I do use LinkedIn, though. I do promote. Again, it's for, you know, it's a professional. This is a business. You know, I'm not just going on there and saying, hey, here's our book. You know, I'll promote our overall business, you know, the Bootstrap Businessman. And along with that, you know, comes the book or whatever we've released at that time, you know, or promoting the show. So, yeah, I do agree with you. It's kind of funny that you said something about the Instagram. I was actually watching a webinar yesterday. I sat there, and this gentleman literally put together 20,000 followers in 15 minutes on Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. Doing what?
A free giveaway for a beaded cell phone case for an iPhone 6. He's in the e-commerce drop shipping world. Yeah, he built this fake. He built the entire Instagram right in front of your eyes, and then he got a hold of I forget the name of the company that was on Instagram. Said, "Hey, can you give me a shout out?" And he gave him the promo, and all of a sudden you just seen his likes and requests and stuff just going through the roof. 20,000 people in 15 minutes on
that
platform.
Don't you think that is more the demographic though? Because that's what I'm talking about as far as, you know, that's more of a kid place to be, I think. And that's what you're looking at, is teenage girls and, you know, women who like the beaded cell phones. My demographic is you know, probably people 30 to retirement age, since, you know, writing is the new retirement hobby. So I'm not sure I'm going to find a lot of my demographic over there, unless maybe I have, like, beaded book covers or something. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Right. absolutely, I agree. That's what he was kind of saying. He's like, you know, the biggest target market are from 18 to 25 years old, and the biggest demographic in that target are 18-year-old and up girls. But they're they're not just regular girls. They come from money. They have money to spend, right? So, and that's what he was saying. But with a twist, the other big demographic that was on Instagram, and this is, and hopefully I'm not taking too much of your time, found this really interesting, if nobody's using it, from 35 to 55 was the second biggest target.
Really? And what kind of product? Because I have a friend who's really big on Instagram, but she has a cosmetics company. So I'm just wondering...
Yeah, a lot of it was to do with fitness, healthy eating. You know, those were the two big ones. Fashion. Fashion was another one. So
that makes sense, yeah.
So I guess with the social media, I was just curious if you had had any experience into it, because I'm starting to really play with that platform a little bit. So I was just wondering if you'd used it at all.
No, not really. I did. I used to have another company that was kind of an energy coaching company, kind of, you know, woo-woo stuff. And I did a little bit of that over there. It was okay over there. But I think the demographic is really a lot of women. Actually, with that company, I was doing well on Pinterest. Pinterest is definitely a women's. You know, I could spend hours on there just looking for recipes and things that, you know, I'd be 300 pounds if I cooked everything I saved on Pinterest.
Nice.
If I did all the workout stuff, I'd be an Olympic athlete.
There you go. Well, so I just wrote a note down in my journal here that I need to start writing recipes.
Okay.
Very good stuff. Juliet, I got a question for you. So if somebody's setting up their platform, what would you say would be your recommendation for people in social media? Should they do one platform over the other? Should they do a combination of things? What's good first step for social media?
Yeah, I think you have to choose one and try it. If you try to do everything at once, it's just going to be too overwhelming, because each one of them is different, and they have a different point to where what they target and what they do. Like, you wouldn't want to be a plumber and be over on Pinterest. There's no interest. You really have to look at who's your audience and where is that audience at. If you're very professional and you have something that you work in an office, it's probably LinkedIn. If you're very artsy crafty, it's probably like an Etsy or a Pinterest or Instagram, or, you know, something like that. So you really have to look at where it is, and you have to try it, and not just try it for a day. Make a 3 to 6 month commitment that you're going to stick with it, and you're going to develop content to put on it. And then if you don't see it growing, then, you know, start exploring different angles and other platforms.
Obviously, consistency is going to probably be key on these social media outlets. How often should a person post?
I think every day, Monday through Friday at least.
Every day
you should have a piece of content. And, you know, content is something that really seems to scare people because they don't understand it. I can whip up a freebie in 5 minutes and, you know, PDF it and it's done. I've got something to download and put in. So it's not really daunting. And I think that's where most people get really stuck on social media, is they think they have to have either really good content or they don't understand the engagement part of it. And they post things that are not engaging.
Yeah. Get the awkward things.
Yeah.
It's a very
yeah.
awkward
thing. You know
what,
it's a like, really, really great source of content that I don't know if anybody uses besides me, is I love cartoon stock. I'm really big on you know, sarcastic cartoons about the publishing industry, and you can go over there and buy an original cartoon for $10. And
nice.
You know, I just think it's kind of cool when you're
you've
really
given me
something
really good.
Get
yeah, you give me something good. I always love getting tricks and tips from other self-publishers. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna check out cartoon stock. I was drafting. I've been working on drafting covers. You know, for the longest time, I've been playing around with GIMP. Don't recommend anybody just hire out for crying out loud because you'll end up pulling out your hair. By the way, Juliet, I'm completely bald because I pulled out all my hair. But now I'm working on the book covers, and oddly enough, last night I'm putting together one for a compilation book of mine, and I just got so frustrated that after working for a while because I knew what's in my head, but it's not coming out. And, you know, I've got this mess on there, and I just jokingly throw a cartoon image that I picked up off Deposit Photos, and I jokingly put it up on my Facebook wall, and I was like, yeah, look at this. This is what I do when I'm delirious. And everybody goes, oh, bravo, love it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Go figure. So it's the darndest things. But hey, before we delve off any further here, we're starting to get towards the end of the show. How can people get in touch with you? And of course, I know there's going to be people that are going to be excited to get in touch with you with Winsome Media Group. So give us a little bit of information, how we can get a hold of you, what we need to do.
Well, I already told you about the Facebook group. You can
okay.
also find me at www.winsomemediagroup.com. And my email, if you want to send me an email, is info@winsomemediagroup.com. And right now, if you're really interested in getting some great tips, we have the book, The Business and Beyond going on right now. You can go to bookbusinessandbeyond.com. And it's a free 21 days of speakers who talk about how you can use your book to build your business. And you just opt in and you get an email every day with a new video with a speaker, and they are giving out tricks and tools and all sorts of stuff to help you with your business, too. You can find
That's
me over there.
That's tremendous. What was that website again?
Bookbusinessandbeyond.com.
Bookbusinessandbeyond.com. Excellent. I think I'm probably going to go visit there. Thank you very much, Julia. I really do appreciate you coming on to the show, taking a little time out of your day to spend some time with Kevin and I. I got to tell you, we got to have you back as long as you're willing to do it, because you and I could probably talk to the cows come home about self-publishing and writing and everything else in between. So any final thoughts before we part ways?
Well, I'd love to come back, and thank you so much for having me. And I hope to see you guys over on the Facebook group.
You got
Kevin.
It. Very...
Silent Kevin.
Silent Kevin.
We call him Silent Bob. Silent J.
Very good. Thank you very much, Juliet. I really appreciate it. Everybody, Juliet Clark, please make sure you go check her out. Take care, Juliet. And Kevin, man, dude, wasn't that freaking good?
Dude, she was, amazing. Got to be honest with you. I wasn't trying to just sit back and be weirdly creepy quiet, but man, you know, just a good rhetoric going on. I didn't want to disturb that flow. So,
yes, you know, that's the problem is you get me around talking with other people that do self-publishing or writing. I just get obsessed. It's almost like getting me around a group of wrestlers or somebody who loves wrestling. I know that when I first started dating Kelly, my wife, I met her father and. He says to me, he's like, oh, so you're a wrestler, huh? And I'm like, yeah, why? He's like, I love wrestling. And I'm like, you do? it literally was like, you know, I fell in love with her father immediately because we just talked about wrestling. And next thing I know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's my girlfriend sitting right here next to me. I forgot about her. So, yeah, that's pretty much how the show goes out. So if anybody was listening to this and they hear me drivel on about self-publishing, my apologies. But hopefully you were taking some notes, because a lot of what she shared is applicable just about to most any business and how you put yourself out there. Wouldn't you agree, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? You got a consistency, you know, we're a couple of things. And just, you know, if you're starting a new business, you know, making sure that you're prepared for that, you know, and, you know, it's honest truth. You know, that's why we've put together the reports and stuff that we've done, Dale. You know, 8 ways to turn your hobby into a business. You know, it's while you're still doing your, you know, 9 to 5 or you know, whatever's going on in your life, you know, that's making you income. So, you know, she's very, you know, just right on the money with it. You know, starting it on the side, making sure that you've got money prepared to at least, you know, give it a year. You know, so
yeah. You've got to be patient in just about anything. And I think sometimes people look at us, everybody likes to feel important. You know, I don't know anybody is like, I don't feel like being important. Everybody wants to have some level of importance. So they think to themselves, well, I'm going to win the lottery, or I'm going to publish a best-selling book, or I'm going to open up a restaurant that's going to be filled all the time. And, you know, we got to be realistic. When you're setting up a business, it's going to take time, and you're going to have heart, and you're going to have thick skin in order to get through it. It's actually something you and I were talking about with Fail to Succeed. Am I not right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything she was talking about in there, I was like, oh my gosh, it feels like we just put this in our book. You know, is being consistent, having a positive outlook, thick skin, patience, you know, and just the direction, man. Dude, that we got to have her back on. We have to.
Yeah, for sure. It was easy to kind of get through things, and I apologize if I dominated things. But, speaking of Fail to Succeed, if you guys want to grab a copy, I believe it's still at 99 cents, isn't it, buddy?
It is still 99 cents until the end of the month, sir.
99 cents. We try to make this easy for our listeners. We're not trying to make, you know, millions of dollars on this. We want to empower our listeners and give you some great information. Yeah, it was something that Kevin and I took a lot of time and a lot of heart, and we put into this little book called Fail to Succeed, 5 Mindset Principles to Personal Growth. And this personal growth can really help you out when you're going into your businesses. So all you have to do is just go to succeed.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's succeed.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Kevin, we're going to start wrapping up things. So what do we need to share with our listeners?
Folks, just going to kind of wrap this back around here. Again, you know, we love being on here and bringing the valuable content, being able to provide a platform to have guests like Juliet on, you know, to share her expertise and, you know, successes and, you know, maybe some dips, but then how she overcame those. You know, to do that, you know, all we're asking is that you go to the link that's provided in the show description, bookmark that in your browser, and every time you go to Amazon, anytime you purchase anything off there, a little small percentage does get kicked back to us, but it doesn't change the cost of the item for you. So, you know, if you like your 2 favorite podcast personalities, the Bootstrap Businessman, go on over, bookmark that link in your browser. And then also, Dale, there's a little follow button.
Follow?
Man.
Follow? What's this follow button? What is this follow button?
The follow button in our show. You click that, and, you know, you can get the updates when our shows are coming up. And honestly, folks, over the course of the next several weeks, you're going to want to do this because we've got a lot of guests lined up, and we got some freebies coming up pretty soon, too. I had to throw it out there, man. We do. So.
Yep, it's right around the corner, and actually we'll have updates this coming Sunday. I'm very excited about our upcoming guest. It's going to be my good friend and my pal. Actually, he was kind of a mentor to me in the wrestling business. His name is James Avery. James Avery is well known in the Ohio independent circuit with pro wrestling and all over the United States and Canada. I think he's been all over. But anyway, you want to tune in this coming Sunday. Gonna be awesome. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And hey, remember, all you got to do to get to our show is you type up show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. So any last words, Kevin, baby?
No, man. Just, you know, I really appreciate everybody showing up tonight. You know, thanks for tuning in. And, man, dude, I'm excited. I'm going to try to do, like, my best Hulk voice next Sunday.
Oh gosh. Please do. Please do. All right,
Hulk
ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, hulking it up. Well, yeah, we're going to hear some great stories from James. I can guarantee you that. He's got stuff that will singe your eyebrows. Well, on behalf of Bootstrap Businessmen, I'm Dale, and on behalf of my buddy Kevin, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Have a good night.